You're listening to a very special episode 45 of Fresh Floopies. Floppies?
Floppies.
Floppies. I don't understand that title. Oh, we'll talk about it.
Northeastern, Southwest, Mississippi. I'm going to reach my destination.
What's up to our sidekicks and henchfolk out there in the mother-loving geek nation? You're listening to Fresh Floppies.
Floppies.
Which is a weekly show where Noel and I, my very good friend, we read some comic books that come out that day, and then we talk about it into microphones for you to listen to with your ear bits. And then we, but.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
I got two questions for you. One, if you were to rate our friendship, would it be fresh enough?
Fresh AF.
Fresh AF? Okay,
fair enough. Fresh AF.
Also, when you hear the word floppy, what is the sound you hear in your head? Is it like a
flap? Like a flap.
I'm spitting everywhere. Sorry, it's not my studio. Coming to you live.
From Yongchang Studios.
This week is special because it's Ghost House. Ghost House?
Ghost Machine.
Ghost.
Man.
It's
Get
Ghost.
Your shit together.
It's Spooky Machine Week.
Yes.
For all comics. What is Ghost Machine, JD?
Well, I'll tell you. Ghost Machine is the new imprint for Image Comics that is spearheaded by, hold on. Like Jeff Johns, Yvonne Reese, Brad Anderson, Jason Fabok, Rob Lee, Peter Snedenberg, Gary Frank, Lamont McGee, Peter Tomasi,
Brad
Michael Schutt, Francis Manapul.
And we get the idea.
And Brian Hitch. I finished it now.
I think it's... I don't know if it's... I wouldn't go as far as to say it's only an imprint. It seems more of like a cooperative. It's a line. And it's a... They all share profits. They all share... Like it's... Well, some of it is.
That's true. Shit.
Some of it's not. Yeah. It's like a cooperative. It's like all these creatives getting together to do this thing. And it's all coming out through Image Comics.
So yeah.
Three of them came out today.
Too many.
I don't know why three of them came out today.
Just stagger them, man. Also, to be fair, they're only $3.99. These are gigantic. Well, Geiger is kind of normal, but like the other two, gigantic. Well,
okay, let's talk about this. We're going to do something unprecedented today.
Oh, good.
We're going to talk about the presentation of all three because they all have the same print presentation.
Yeah, it's true.
So it's cardstock cover.
Nice.
Thick, glossy paper stock.
Ooh. Thick with two C's.
Yeah, fatty. Yeah. Fatty papers.
Yeah.
Fatty papes, thicky stocks.
Yes.
Matte finish.
Uh-huh.
So sexy. I could slow this down.
Real thick.
The presentation of these comics is fantastic. This at DC is a $5.99.
$6.99.
Yeah. Maybe.
We're splitting hairs, but like, yeah. you're paying a lot more.
I think it's actually $6.49. Yeah.
Plus tax.
Yeah. And then we're closer to $6.99.
Plus tip.
Tax on what state? Like here it's 8%. in general.
Yeah, it's a good looking. All three of these are good.
I think the presentation is fresh AF. Depending on, we'll go to the content, but just from the looks of it, these are easy to like, as a deal to give to new readers.
So despite all of the big names attached to this line from Image Comics, a lot of people don't seem to really know about it. So on my shelf at Johnny Destructo's Hero Complex, located at 4327 Main Street, I have the original Geiger miniseries trade paperback.
$9.99, six issues.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And then the one shot that came out about a month ago.
Yeah, the Ghost Machine primer.
Yeah. And all the books that we're talking about today from Ghost Machine are all written by Jeff Johns.
Today.
Yeah. We're going to start with Geiger.
We're also neglecting one other. So Geiger had a miniseries that already came out. There was also a follow-up miniseries to Geiger called Junkyard Joe.
That's right.
There was also an anthology series within Image 25.
Oh.
Written by Jeff Johns with art by Andrea Moody. Moody?
Sure.
It was like a horror Yeti horror book, but it was part of the air quotes unnamed.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I missed that totally. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh cool.
So there's been some drippings, trinklings.
Yeah.
Some
droplets.
I'm
leavings. There's been some leavings.
There's been some bird shit that's been splattered around
regarding
this universe. But we're gonna start with the OG, the one that kicked it off, the new ongoing series, which starts here according to the cover. Geiger, number one, by Jeff Johns, with art by Gary Frank and
Brad
Anderson.
One of my all-time favorites. I love Gary Frank so much.
This is a first issue that's really a ninth issue,
yep,
but reads like a first issue.
Yeah, total jumping on point.
Yeah, Geiger is takes place 45 years in the future?
25 years from now.
That's the beginning. There's a timeline in the back.
Oh, snap.
Oh, yeah, 25 years from now. Sorry, the present day, 5 years from now. 25, okay, 25 years from now, a gentleman by the name of Tariq Geiger, during this, at the onset of this crazy war that happens, his family gets put into a
bunker.
A bunker, and he is outside protecting it, and
it starts there.
He turns different.
Yeah. He's got a really cool glowing skull, radiation body with a
the actual hood. Origin of the character happens in the miniseries that's already out. Right now, you don't really need to know. He is just a glowing man that walks the earth, in a radiated earth that is run mostly by crime syndicates.
Yes. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually quite liked the first miniseries.
Yeah, it was great.
And this picks up exactly where that leaves off, and I'm liking this just as much.
There's a couple of one-shots also in between. I don't know how it's all going to get collected, but who cares? Either way, this is cool. Yeah, I like this. I mean, I'm a sucker for Gary Frank.
Me too, man. I'll read anything Gary Frank draws.
And speaking of one of the books we're going to talk about later, I'm even a sucker for Gary Frank knockoffs.
Yeah, uh-huh. So I would say Geiger, pretty fresh.
I think it's pretty fresh. I think it's pretty fresh. It's so I enjoyed the miniseries. I enjoyed the one shots. I dig this. I don't know if I'm gonna pull it because I think this might be better off
in chunks.
Chunky boys. Yeah. But I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I really, really enjoyed it. This is a cool one shot. This is get it. Get the trade and get this.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great.
Red Coat also came out today, also by Jeff Johns, but
never
drawn by good Brian Hitch.
Right? Great Brian Hitch.
Yeah. For years now, I've been sort of watching the slow, what's the word?
Degradation?
Decline. The slow decline of my interest in Brian Hitch's work.
The slow transformation of his style.
Yeah.
Like, Is it a digital transition issue?
I have no idea, man.
But like his form started getting almost, his coloring started getting muddy, his figures started looking rubbery.
Yeah, his limbs started going akimbo.
Yeah,
very very Butch Geist from like early Wally West Flash era type stuff.
And my least favorite habit of his was when he would draw Spider-Man with toes.
No, I didn't like that either. Yeah, it's a little creepy.
I really hate
Quentin Tarantino. This is awesome, Brian Hitch, man. As I'm reading this, I'm going, I wonder if he's just been putting less work into his Big Two stuff because he's putting all his work into this Create Your Own book, which makes sense.
Can you recap or can you explain to me what Red Coat is?
Red Coat is an immortal. This is a gentleman.
We're out. Okay.
He's an immortal who was, you know, Red Coats are coming. The Red Coats are coming back in 1880.
Revolutionary War.
Oh, 1775. And something happens, and now he don't die. I mean, he do die.
Something happens. He dies,
but then
and he wakes up.
He rebirths.
He's the Highlander.
Yeah. He's Highlander.
He's a red coat Highlander.
But he's also
kind of a piece of shit.
He's like a dumb John Constantine. He's a dumb immortal John Constantine because he's a piece of shit. But he doesn't seem that smart.
Why is John Constantine? Only because he's not capable of doing anything. He's a British asshole. Oh, okay. Okay, that's fine. I was just like, when I think of John Constantine, I think of an asshole, but talent.
That's right.
Redcoat has no talent.
No, yeah.
Just to not die.
Yeah.
That's his only thing. I liked first of all, the art is awesome.
Yeah.
This is awesome, awesome, awesome. And
it's good
Hitchin. I really liked the, how do I want to put this? Historical mysticism historical magic?
Yes.
Shit going on?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like, hey, what about cults and rituals and magic in early America?
Okay. Uh-huh.
That's fun.
Yep.
This was fun. I think I liked this one a little bit more than the next one we're going to talk about.
I also liked it more than Geiger.
I
was surprised because I had no interest in this. I was like, I don't know. I'm really, really enjoying Brian Hitch's stuff. I don't know if I care about a red coat.
This has character. So Geiger doesn't have any humor.
No.
has humor.
Yeah.
This has a little bit more of
he's
a,
fun. He's
of
having
a spirit.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything around him is dark, but he's, you know.
He's a cad.
You be immortal for a couple hundred years, mm-hmm. and you kind of just don't really give a shit. Or nothing really phases you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No consequences. It's great.
This is, let's see. Geiger was pretty fresh. I'm going to go red coat is, wait, is pretty fresh before or after
they,
fresh?
Well, they can be the same in degrees.
Yeah.
Like, they could all be pretty fresh.
Pretty fresh plus.
Okay.
This is pretty fresh plus.
Pretty fresh 0.25.
Yes, that's right. and then Rook Exodus, which is the thickest boy
it is a thicker,
of them all.
It is a thicky
by
boy.
By Jeff Johns and Jason Fabok.
Fabok.
And Brad Anderson. And
Brad
this,
Anderson's doing the work today.
And a whole other story, a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Which... it's some of it is so dumb. Some of it, it's I don't know if it's dumb,
okay,
but it's like these people have helmets that help them.
This is a lot. Hang on, let's go. I want to go one step before that. Okay.
Okay.
Earth dead.
Earth dead.
Rich people and or those with a trade are able to travel to new world.
Yes.
That will have all things that Earth. Yay.
Yeah. Better world.
If you, some are conscripted to go to this world to work it, and one of the ways that they work it is they'll have these helmets that allow them to instinctively communicate with specific animals.
Yes.
So you've got like one that talks to birds, one that talks to swine, one that talks to bears, one that talks to goats, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you've got these almost like steampunk farmers mm-hmm. that control animals. Now, fast forward a not too long, couple years, new planet. Dying again.
The
world engine that they made this new world with is dying, so the entire planet is kind of falling apart and people are escaping it. But the company, the air quotes company or whatever, decided to leave all of these.
Let's just call them Weyland,
farmers?
Weyland Yutani.
Farm, like, what are they called? Are they called farmers? Are they called people with.
Wardens.
Wardens. Wardens, thank you. They're all
those
wardens.
Those who wear helmets capable of commanding an animal species.
They wardens. Leave the wardens behind. So yeah. Now you've got this kind of, these contingent of wardens controlling their species, trying to, some are trying to, you know, wreck Earth. Some are trying to scrap for metal to build a rocket. Some are trying to, so it's just almost mm-hmm. like a, it's it almost feels like mafioso, mm-hmm. but with animals in the future on a different planet. It's a lot.
Right?
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
I overall I liked it.
Well, as far, you know what, it's like as far as main characters are, he looks cool. He's like over designed, but like he looks cool. And then he's just like, I was a farmer.
I think.
Like, oh, okay. He was a farmer.
He's Jason Todd, and I don't care for him.
Uh huh.
But there's so many spinning plates in this book. I still kind of want to know where it goes next.
I like how it ended though. Like this last page, I was like, all right, I'll read number two.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
This one was less of a, this is fresh enough.
Mm.
So Geiger, solid, red coat, surprising. This was a lot uh-huh. of a book.
But
this,
I didn't
no,
not
no, no.
enjoy it.
You know what this reminded me of? This reminded me of some Scott Snyder stuff where it's like, I'm going to give you two worlds worth of building in one issue
mm-hmm.
and... You like if you pull the pieces apart, they're all great, and it seems like a cool idea, and everything is good in there. But it just feels excessive in the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm hoping maybe like the pacing of it all slows down.
Also, talking about what did you call him? Gary Frank Light or Gary Frank Ripoff? There are panels in here where I was like,
Ripoff.
Oh, did Gary Frank draw that?
Let's go with Gary Frank inspired. Ripoff
sure.
is like there's no talent. There's talent.
Oh no,
here.
He's good.
He's wonderful, but he is very very influenced by Gary Frank.
Yeah.
And Justin Fabok didn't always have this style. It was a little rubberier.
Mm-hmm.
But since, I want to say since like Three Jokers, since his,
mm-hmm.
he's basically just been working with Geoff Johns since his Justice League run in New 52.
Yeah.
So like he did a bunch of stuff there and it just kind of slow. His style used to be a cross between Yvonne Reese and Gary Frank. And over the last decade or so, it's been mostly Gary Frank with,
yeah.
honestly, his action's a touch better than Gary Frank's.
Oh.
Some of the splash pages are a little bit more dynamic.
Oh.
Gary Frank has more of a intense in the moment feel. This is more comic booky.
Sure. Okay.
So, you know, your mileage may vary. Both of them are beautiful.
Yeah.
Just this story is a lot.
It is a lot.
For a first issue, it's chonky. It's chonky hard.
I'm not sure how I feel about it. I'm looking at it. I'm flipping through it. I'm going, I liked it.
So, I mean, that's probably a good place to be, at least. It's like, hey, I hated this.
That's true. Yeah.
So, I mean, okay, so that's 3 books in 15 minutes. This is going to be a short show.
Yeah.
3 books in 15 minutes, all ghost.
Well, so, I mean, listen, it's
face,
difficult because.
Machine, ghost machine face.
Because it's difficult if we can't spoil anything, right?
Oh, no. I'm not complaining about the runtime. I'm saying we plowed through books. Yeah. So let's talk about...
Shazam?
No.
Oh.
Let me finish the sentence.
No.
Ugh. How do you feel about this imprint so far? This was kind of like a crock in the gate.
That's a good question. How do I feel about this imprint? I feel like I like these creators very much.
This creator and three artists.
And... These definitely feel like comic books I've never read before.
Yeah.
They're all new stories, all new sort of their own genre almost, each book.
Yeah.
but I am not head over heels yet. Mm-hmm. You know, when I saw Geoff Johns and Gary Frank were going to be doing their own creator-owned stuff, I was very excited. And then I picked up the first issue of the first Geiger. And I was like, oh, this is kind of different. I don't know what I was expecting, but this wasn't it. And the more I read them, the more I continue to go, well, this is not what I was expecting. So it's difficult because it's not jumping in down my pants, but they're also good. Like I'm not upset that I read them, but I'm not like, oh man, Red Coat number 2 is coming, I can't wait. Like it's not
in the
Doomsday
back,
clock.
And so April is these three books, and then in the back it's Beyond, it's a book called Devour, first a book called First Ghost, another one Hornsby and Halo, Hyde Street, Rockefellers, and The Soulless. Now one that's missing that I will advocate for is Junkyard Joe.
I haven't read that one.
That book was better than the first Geiger.
No kidding.
It is such a cool concept, the idea that like in Vietnam they had an experimental robot that imprinted itself on its platoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then 50 years later, the lone survivor of that platoon who's been drawing cartoons of Junkyard Joe, who he thought he imagined.
Yeah.
The robot shows up at this elderly man's door and he has to like, it remembers him.
Oh, okay.
And then it's this whole like the government trying to track Joe down.
Huh.
It's almost like an Amblin movie. And it's awesome.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Yeah,
Steven Spielberg.
I got it. Spielberg. Yeah.
That book is better than all of these so far. But yeah, you're right. Strong shit.
It's strong. But like, as I'm reading them, I find myself kind of worried about them. Because I don't know if these are the type of books that are really going to capture an audience and grab the people that will keep it going. What do you think?
I think it's a giant mistake to flood the zone in one day.
Yeah.
This is like a classic mistake that Bendis made when he moved to DC. He had like 4 books come out in 1 month, like 2 creator owned and 2 that like...
Yeah. Even I didn't keep up. I was just like, nope, can't do it.
Like you lost... Geoff Johns has a name,
yeah.
Right? He's got a bankable name. And 3 number ones of 3 brand new books for him starting in one day.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot for a consumer,
yeah.
I think. Like even if they were staggered by weeks...
Mm-hmm.
That would be something that's like keeps conversation for the rest of the month.
Yeah.
So I'm just flummoxed by that. Also, these are 3 artists who are not fast.
Mm-hmm.
So if these are all starting now, how much in the can do they have and how much gap is there gonna be going on? You know? Mm-hmm. That's what kind of
I
would
have put these
off.
Out, yeah. Geiger 1 week, Red Coat. Even you could even do them a different month. Like Geiger 1 month, Red Coat the next month, Rook the next month. To sort of build something.
I
guess maybe there's something to be said for like a big splash, like a big
You remember when Mark Miller was like, hey, I'm gonna release all the books on one day, like a binge?
No.
Yeah, it didn't work.
I don't remember that. Yeah.
It was Cosmonauts 2.
Oh, really?
Cosmonauts.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, they released all 6 issues in one day.
Oh, I didn't know that. Or I forgot about it.
It was a Netflix experiment.
But yeah, none of these are bad. I'm going to keep trying them. But yeah, I'm a little worried.
Let's talk about a book that Geoff Johns is mildly related to but had nothing to do with.
Shazam number 10, Moving Day, Part 1. by Josie Campbell and Lucio
Lupacino.
Lupacini. What's the name?
Lupacino.
That's a drink.
Lupacino.
Well, I did
Why
not
do you
prep
not believe
this
me?
Correctly.
Why do you not believe me? It's Lupacino. It's Emanuela Lupacino.
Emanuela. Yeah, that's what I was asking. I was looking for the first name.
Oh, also with Mike Norton. That's shocking. I didn't see that.
Emanuela Lupacino and Mike Norton. So, yeah, Geoff Johns was writing the first 9 issues of this.
Nope.
Nope, I lied.
Geoff Johns
piece of shit.
Did the last series. So he did
oh,
the
this was
and
Mark
the magical
Wade.
Yeah, Mark
oh,
Wade
Mark
did the first
Wade
9
and
issues
Dan Mora.
Of this. Yeah, it was a tenuous connection, but either modern Shazam. And then Josie Campbell has taken over writing duties. Mark Wade and Dan Mora, favorites, eternal favorites, have moved on to some DC event coming soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, what did you think? So you have not been caught up with this book. I have been reading it all along. What did you think of this issue?
This was fun.
Mm-hmm.
This was a great Shazam. You got the Shazamly. You got the one kid who's the dickhead. He's like with the crutches.
Freddy
gets a Shazvan. Shazvan. And no one cares. He's so excited, but no one else cares. And then due to some mysticism involving the Rock of Eternity and Zeus, high jinkery ensues. The highest of jinks.
Yeah.
Top shelf jinkery.
Whoa.
A lot of fun. What did
you
think?
Shelf.
Top shelf jinkery.
Top shelf jinkery. I'm torn.
Oh no.
I'm torn because the previous creative team was my favorite.
Well, of course, because
it's hard to. No matter how good this was, and this is good. Uh-huh. I love Josie Campbell. Previously
of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, Emanuela Lupacino's art is fantastic, and now that I'm looking through it, I can tell when Mike Norton trades off.
Mm-hmm.
But and also, too, this is a continuation of what happened in the previous 9 issues, but it does not read that way. You could jump right in. And there's a pretty decent cliffhanger, too. This is like solid-ass comic booking.
Yeah, yeah.
I was very happy with this, and I think this will be a fun series. I don't know how long Josie Campbell's on it, but she has captured the same kind of flair that Wade was writing with.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Shazam
fan. It takes a lot for me to stay on a Shazam book because I'm just not really a fan of it.
Yeah.
But this is strong as hell.
And if you're looking for an all-ages book,
oh, yeah, this is
hell
wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Get it.
I mean, there is that, like, hard sex and murder, but besides that, it's all-ages.
Did we do it?
Yeah, that's all.
Well,
hey,
hold on a second.
Yeah.
You did Deadpool number one.
I did read Deadpool
by Ziegler.
Cody Ziegler and... Roger Antonio.
When we were deciding what to read,
you were passing through it, and I was just like, you don't have to finish it. That's okay. We'll talk about the other books. This is a lot. It's an issue number one that's contingent on like 7 other different series that Deadpool's been in.
Apparently he was...
And it's a slog.
He was in love with somebody, and then...
He's got a daughter. He had a wife. Now he's got a symbiote dog that's
that
named
calls him
Princess.
Papa? I love the symbiote. Dog.
This is like a roller coaster of continuity that I didn't read. It's fine. It's just not a very accessible first issue. For me.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of Deadpool, it's fine.
I also don't care about Deadpool comics.
Me neither. Deadpool for me is like mostly like the Punisher. The Punisher when he shows up as a foil inside of another story or as part of a story, but when he is just yucking it up in his yucking it up way, I kind of lose interest. I glaze over a little bit.
Yeah,
and this is more of that. So, like, if you're a giant fan of Deadpool,
although
there's a new number one
say,
for you, and it's wonderful.
I read the first, like, maybe 5 or 6 pages of this book before we had to get started. And I was kind of impressed that he's not just yucking it up. He is dealing with his broken heart.
Yes, it's Deadpool on Wii.
And he... is like purposely trying to yuck it up because he's so bummed. And I was kind of like, oh, that's kind of a cool...
He's forcing it.
Yeah, he's forcing it.
Yeah.
Like his inner monologue is like, all right, now make a joke about your arm. Ugh, that wasn't a good joke. Ugh. Like he's trying. And I thought that was actually different than most of the Deadpools I've seen. So I wanted to shout that out because that seemed like pretty cool.
It reminded me of Deadpool
2 in the beginning.
After we lose
Vanessa.
Weaker of the two Deadpool movies.
Both are good, though.
It's fine. I mean, when I read Deadpool, it's in pieces. I might be the wrong
Yeah, I'm not the audience for Deadpool comics.
Yeah. And also, they just keep relaunching it, too. Like, the last time that I read Deadpool for a long period of time was when Jerry Duggan was writing it, and I even fell off that.
Yeah, I didn't bother with that either.
I mean, I read, like, 25 issues of it. Mm-hmm. I just went on for another 25.
All right.
So, yeah, mileage may vary. It's fresh enough if you're a fan.
But I would say... Yeah, Geiger, Redcoat, Sample Ghost Machine. Give them a shot.
If people want to come into, what's the name of your shop?
Johnny Destructo's Hero Complex, located at 4327 Main Street.
On the racks right now, you have a bunch of Ghost Machine primer copies that, yeah. You know, come and get it.
Come and get it. All right.
But that's
we love
much
you
it.
And we'll talk at you later.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Cult Pop Network, home to podcasts, live shows, and a whole lot of fun stuff for every flavor of fan. Follow us wherever you find your favorite podcasts, and be sure to join us live every Wednesday night at youtube.com/cultpopgo at 8 p.m. Eastern. While you're there, be sure to subscribe to the channel and hit the bell icon so you'll know when we drop new Thunder Rounds and episodes of Fresh Floppies, a spoiler-free show about single-issue comics released each week. Until then, we'll talk at you later.